Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And on this week's show, this is our monumental 30th episode, Guys at the Movies. On this week's show, we're going to watch as Jodie Foster becomes the Brave One. We're going to speculate about D-War without trailer and without screening. And we're going to make some Eastern promises to Naomi Watts. Not that I haven't already done so.
Yeah, and there's that restraining order on them.
Yes, and we're going to do our best to refrain from making any inappropriate comments about the film Mr. Woodcock.
Aside from the fact that we're going to have a double bill, they're showing Mr. Woodcock and Balls of Fury at the same time at theaters around the country. And that's totally okay to say.
Yeah.
Because
they
titles
are
of movies,
the titles of the films.
And they're on, like, regular green card trailers. You can't
exactly
do anything
about it. But before we get to that double feature, we're going to let you know how to get a hold of us here. Sorry, I got all flustered there for a second. Hold
okay.
on.
Okay. Are you got it together?
Yeah. All right. I'm ready. How can you get a hold of us, Fat Guys at the Movies? www.fatguysatthemovies.com.
Go figure.
You can get us on iTunes. If you go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies, we pop up. Also, if you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or if you would like to call us and leave us a voicemail.
And we got one of those this week.
We have one of those this week.
We'll play that in a minute.
It is 614-388-8735.
Pow. And we had an earlier method of getting a hold of us, which we talked about on the show.
It's more of a primitive way.
Yeah, it's a little more primitive, and it was to well somebody tried it. Here's our voicemail. We'll play it for you.
Hey guys, I've been trying this all day and it's not working. I'll try it one more time. Fat Guys at the Movies. Yeah, you're not here.
So unfortunately, the contract with Ricola expired, so that's probably why it wasn't working.
Right.
Our apologies to our faithful listenership who has been out there.
Yeah, and to the unidentified listener who called in, it did work.
Yes. We just showed up and
we showed up and you weren't there.
You weren't there, dude.
You didn't leave your name and address.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it works. I don't know if you heard the rules.
We did eat your food. I bet you noticed that there was food missing from your house.
Nice.
So, but thank you for the phone call, whoever you are, faithful listener. There's one of them out there. We can prove it. We've got the voicemail.
We actually, I'm pretty sure we're up to like three now.
Wow. So. Does that include your mom, my mom, and this kid?
No, it's your mom, my mom, and Vice President Dick Cheney.
That's right. Yeah, so. No, really, honestly, my mom doesn't listen to the show. So. Oh,
all right, well, my mom and President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney.
Oh, both of them.
Well, I know President Bush listens to us.
Really?
He called me.
He called you? Was he the one who did the recall of Bad Guys at the Movies?
No.
That was not.
It would have been more, it would have had a at the end.
Hey, Fat Guys at the Movies.
Hey.
There you go.
Come down to the White House.
All right.
Anyways, let's talk about some movies.
We went to a foray into politics. You know, wow. Move over, Rush Limbaugh. Here we go. Fat Guys at the Movies are coming out for you. Anyways, let's jump into the movie screenings. The stuff we do best. The movies that we've seen.
Or the stuff we do most.
Or at least the movie I've seen. Because, again, you've seen one movie this week. I've seen two.
Yeah, but I reported a lot of news.
Okay, whatever. That's just the other website.
So?
Whatever.
It's what I do.
Okay, first one, The Brave One. We got another vigilante movie with Jodie Foster in Death Wish with a woman. A lot more crying, a lot more angst, a lot more narration. Let's take a listen.
It is astonishing to find that inside you there is a stranger. I killed a man tonight. One that has your arms, your eyes.
If anybody's implying that the shooting is justified, let me remind you that we do have a legal system.
This stranger is all you are now. There's no going back.
Well, there you go. You saw Death Sentence, right, Neil?
I did.
And as I recall, it was the best movie of the weekend that came out.
The best movie of the worst weekend
of the
year.
Of that weekend, yeah.
Yes.
Well, this one wasn't as good as Death Sentence.
Now I have a question. I'm told, because there was a shower scene in Death Sentence where Kevin Bacon was crying in the shower.
Yes.
But he was nude. Now
that's
I hear
right.
there's a
he
similar scene
down.
With Jodie Foster, but it's she has her clothes on?
Yeah. I think...
What kind of crap is that?
Yeah, that's just dumb. But what's... That's the problem with this movie. What would have been awesome, it was directed by Neil Jordan, if at the end of the movie she would have gone to take a shower and if she would have been a man. That would have been a great ending to the movie, which is not the ending they chose. But Neil Jordan, who did The Crying Game, that would have been an awesome ending.
Okay.
I would have believed
it. Or if she just would have been naked.
Yeah, that too.
That would have been fun.
That would have been cool. But she didn't do it because, you know, I guess apparently when you murder somebody for the first time, you have to go home and take a shower. That's the thing you do because Kevin Bacon did it. Jodie Foster did it.
I'm sure other people have done it.
People, yeah, probably.
I did it the first time I killed
someone.
Not the
people who murdered people, other people in the movie. And she only took one shower, so, and she wasn't even naked in it. But but oddly enough, whenever she flashed back to her boyfriend, they were having sex.
Awesome.
Which I mean, that's cool.
And she only took one shower? That's kind of not really hygienic.
Well, but the thing is, it's just like apparently their relationship was just about, because they had like three flashbacks and it was always about them having sex.
Lots of sex.
It was not them like watching a movie.
Well, I tell you what, if I had a girlfriend and we had lots of sex.
Okay, and we're not talking science fiction now.
And then and then she got killed. I'd be pretty angry too.
And you'd
go start murdering people. I'd be like, listen,
dude. I'd murder the people, and I'd just go home and I'd eat a chocolate sundae. I'd be like, whatever. I murdered somebody, and he was a jerk.
Okay,
that's how I roll.
Anyways, official grade, official fat guy's grade.
Sucks.
Okay,
totally sucks.
Sorry, Jody.
Yeah, it was bad. It was
moving
really
along.
Bad. And no, can I vent real quick about Jodie Foster?
Fire away.
What I don't like about her, and it's in this movie, is ever since she won the Academy Award for Silence of the Lambs, everybody seems to just give her a wide breath, and everyone's like, "Let her act, let her do her thing. She's brilliant, and I'm not going to get in her way." And it's just nothing but like half the movie is Jodie Foster emoting.
Yeah, I think she needs to do like a dumb comedy.
Yeah, like Jeffrey Rush. I love Jeffrey Rush because he'll do like these really incredibly, you know,
like the usual
intellectual
suspects.
Things. He wasn't in The Usual Suspects.
No, I'm sorry, that was
Jeffrey Rush.
He'd
be like in Shakespeare in Love, and he's in, you know, Elizabeth and stuff. And then
he does Pirates of the Caribbean,
and be Casanova Frankenstein in Mystery Men.
Nice.
And have Paul Rubens break wind.
Yeah, you can't take yourself too seriously, or else you become Christian Bale.
Or you turn. So. Well, yeah, or Jodie Foster.
Oh, okay.
Jodie Foster needs to do something where she has Paul Rubens break wind in her.
Yes. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. All right.
That's my theory.
Well, real quick, another movie that we can't really take seriously because we haven't seen it.
Yeah,
because
they wouldn't let us.
Is D-War or Dragon Wars.
Yes.
Which is an import.
Yeah. It looks like, I've heard the director referred to as the whatever country he's from. I still have to prepare.
It's Korean.
Korean Uwe Boll, basically.
He's the Korean Uwe Boll?
That's what somebody said, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. Like, who's the American Uwe Boll? Because he's not American.
He's Rennie Harlan.
Rennie Harlan?
But Rennie Harlan's like Dutch or something like that.
See, we need like a really terrible American director.
Trust me, they're out there.
That's like not Michael Brett Bay. Ratner.
Like Michael Bay?
No.
All right. We got to go to break.
You're going down.
Whatever. When we come back, other movies we're going to review.
Bye. And we're back here on Fat Guys the Movies, and since we didn't settle the whole American Uwe Boll, we're going to continue to search for that one for
you. Yeah, we got nothing.
My vote's totally Brett Ratner. Because he sucks.
But he makes good movies.
I don't think so.
I think he's an idiot. No, I'll tell you who's American Uwe Boll.
Okay.
McG.
Yes.
McG.
Because they keep giving him money to make terrible movies.
It's bigger and bigger money,
and
too.
And we don't understand why.
They're
okay,
like going,
all right.
Oh, he needs $200 million to make.
We normally wouldn't agree on something like this, but
isn't it amazing? Think,
yeah. McG is
perfect. You
need to
take a pill or something. Cause...
Yeah, because he's got a cool name and everything. Like, you know, like Uwe Boll's name is like
Uwe Boll's
so
a real
different.
Name. McG is like McLovin.
But McLovin was like the best thing about the summer.
It's McLovin's cousin making movies.
Nice.
About football and Charlie's Angels.
Anyways, moving along to our third movie of the day is a movie that combines two very phallic words.
Okay.
Mr. Woodcock.
Yeah. I'm surprised they got this past the MPAA as a title.
I have no idea.
What are they thinking? They give Lust, Caution an NC-17 rating.
For showing like probably one breast.
Yeah, and Mr. Woodcock gets like, what is it, G?
I think it's a PG-13.
It's PG-13. They're playing it on Dog and Nick Jr. this weekend.
Nice. Well, let's play a clip and we'll come back and talk about it.
Hey, Mom.
You're here!
Are you seeing someone?
Yeah, you know him already.
Mr. Woodcock. Well, it looks like I'm going to be your new dad. What's your book about?
It teaches people how to release painful memories so they can rebuild their self-esteem.
A lot of losers out there, I guess.
And as we hear, Billy Bob Thornton yet again playing a crotchety old cantankerous.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is like School for Scoundrels, only this guy's like banging your mom instead.
Yeah, it's School for Scoundrels instead of your girlfriend. Bad News Bears meets Bad Santa.
Every other crappy Billy Bob Thornton movie.
I want to see him do a sequel to Sling Blade and have him be a coach. And I'd be like,
yeah.
I reckon you ought to just go climb up that pole. And then he kills somebody with a machete.
Cool.
That would be awesome.
It could be fun.
That's all I have to say because I haven't seen this.
I mean,
movie.
Neither one of us saw it, but I know that I talked to Brian, who is the co-editor of Film School Rejects. And
I think you call him Snuggy Bear.
He did see it, and he said it was terribly unfunny.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks kind of funny. I kind of want to see it, but not so much that I'm actually going to spend money on it.
Okay. We'll wait till the Oscar screener.
Exactly. We'll wait. Yeah, we'll get the Oscar screener for Sean William Scott. Sure to be nominated.
Yeah, sure to be nominated.
It's got Susan Sarandon in it.
Yeah.
She's an Oscar nominee. Did she win an Oscar at some point?
For something.
Who cares?
I don't know.
Who cares about Susan Sarandon? Why does she still get jobs?
I don't know. She's in Speed Racer.
Who cares? But at least I'll give her credit over Jodie Foster. At least she does stupid movies.
Yeah, I agree.
I give her credit. But then she does just wait. Ugh.
Yeah, she made a guest spot on Rescue Me, which is like my favorite show.
She is so unattractive. It looks like somebody like grabbed her eyeballs from behind her head and pulled and then let them release out.
Wow.
It's like really...
You've got a lot of like older women venom.
Well, no, there's some ugly younger women. But I mean, like, trust me, it happens in Hollywood. But I mean, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show, she peaked. She was really cute in that. And then downhill. Yeah. Even
kinda
in
like,
The Hunger.
Kind of like, what's his name? Tim Curry. Peaked in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah,
he did, but still, Tim Curry's cool.
Or
no
Dunstan
matter
Checks In.
Like. Dunstan Checks In. That, speaking of award-winning movies.
Yeah. Anyways, what's next?
Was that directed by
Michael? Oh, the movie that we actually saw.
Yeah, we both saw
it. We both saw it.
And weirdly enough, agreed upon.
I think we both agreed upon it. Let's play a clip from Eastern Promises.
Unidentified woman died December the 20th, 2313. Baby girl born 20th of December, 2314.
Anya, where did you get this?
I found it in the handbag of a girl who died in my ward.
You should bury her secrets with her body.
I'm a midwife. I was hoping to speak to the manager.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry if she had worked here. I would remember.
It's all right. I'll probably find out more once I get her diary translated.
Her diary?
And as you heard, it has my future sugar mama in it.
Viggo Mortensen?
Somehow I just keep setting you up for those.
You do. I mean, I don't know what it was. But you saw the nude fight
to correct
scene
you,
and you were into it.
Naomi Watts, and I'm talking Mulholland Drive.
She looked
Naomi
well,
Watts.
Well, that was 10 years ago. She looked
that
great.
That doesn't matter.
She's
she can get back
old
to that. She's going, no, she's still looking
she's
good.
She's developing jowls.
Yeah.
She's going to look like Richard Nixon soon.
Wow. That's bad. Anyways.
She's overrated.
In regards to the movie... I have to say, and I actually went out after seeing the movie and bought History of Violence because I have not yet seen A History of Violence, and I'm now kind of
which
disappointed.
Which I thought was better, actually. I will say I liked History of Violence better.
The reason I went out and bought it is because I've never really gotten into David Cronenberg, but I really did like Eastern Promises. So I don't know if it's better than A History of Violence, but I enjoyed the flick.
I think
very compelling,
yeah,
very interesting.
History of Violence was a more complete movie.
Okay.
And this one, to me, really, really feels like a setup for something more. And I really would like to see... I would love to see where these characters go.
It kind of felt
after
like
the movie.
Like,
and he's sort of in this period of doing these gangster movies now.
Yeah, like if, you know... I don't know. I don't want to compare it to The Godfather, but I kind of got that Godfather-ish feel. Yeah. I mean, it by no means is as good as...
But still, The Godfather was much more complete. The first
right.
Movie.
But I think it kind of is that rise to power kind of story, mm-hmm. And it's got a you know a nice kind of human story
There's
to
no
it.
No dead horses in it, though.
No dead horses. But it was really well executed. I think it was a very simple story.
Like yeah.
There's no big twists.
Well, you're right. It
it's
is very,
very
it's
straightforward.
Very simple, and it's not like I wasn't bored with it because I've seen movies where just like that's it. I'm sitting through this. This is nothing. Mm-hmm. And really, there's not a whole lot that happens, but there is.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Naomi Watts' character is kind of stupid because, you know, she just, like, runs to the Russian mob and then she, like, threatens them. It's sort of dumb, but...
Right. She's got some balls.
Okay.
A fury.
Fury. You have to just cover yourself on that one. Stop there. But no, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was really interesting. I, like I said, History of Violence, I thought was better.
Right.
And this one's worth the buzz, but you know, it's hard to say something's traditional Cronenberg or not, because he's all over the map with his stuff. The only thing he hasn't done is like the lighthearted romantic comedy or the wacky road movie.
Right.
I mean, if it's a drama, if it's intense, he's done it, but he's done it in so many different veins.
Right. So I don't know. I very much enjoyed it. I'm going to say that it rocked. Like, it was probably the best way for me to start the painful Award Oscar season. Bait season.
Yeah. I'd have to say the best Oscar bait movie I've seen so far is Talk to Me. Have you seen Talk to Me?
Not yet.
That's a good movie. That's a really good movie, and Don Cheadle's gonna. And I think Chiwetel, or I don't know how to pronounce his name because I'm an idiot.
Ekafor.
Yeah, they're both worthy of Oscar noms. But this one's good. But the only reason I'm gonna say kind of rocks is because I have already seen History of Violence, and I like that better.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you an update on that next week. History of Violence.
But we got to go to a break, and when we come back, more of The Coolest Show in America.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette when you kiss me.
And welcome back, Fat Guys in the Movies. We're going to talk a little box office now.
Woohoo!
I'm excited. Let's start with last weekend's box office, because it's obviously the end of summer. Like, from the box office, you can tell. Plus, I'm pretty sure it's going to snow pretty soon here in Ohio, so...
Well, but it's also, if you look at the total box office for the weekend, is like what one movie made in an off
week. Right, it's like what Transformers made in its 12th week in release. Yeah.
They're like, you saw all these, you know, articles coming out where they're like, the box office is at like $4.2 billion or whatever, and it's awesome because it's only in September, and it's already bigger than any other year. Trust me, they're going to make up. We're going to lose so much money over the next, because there's nothing good coming out.
So, last weekend, 310 to Yuma pulled it out, $14 million. Halloween down to $9 million, which it deserves
to
make.
The Terrorist
nothing.
Did not win. Did
I will
you
say
that?
Though, Superbad, $7.5 million. Still holding up strong.
But it's such a school movie. I think that's the kind of movie you want to see in the fall, because it's about school, it's about summer.
Right. It makes you feel better about the fact that you're back in school. Yeah. If you're back in school,
Halloween just makes you want to go out and kill people.
And Shoot 'Em Up also makes you want to go out and kill people. Shoot 'Em Up finished fourth last weekend. So let's look at some of the movies coming out. We already talked about all the movies coming out. But
The Brave One
at 2,700 theaters, Dragon Wars at 22, Mr. Woodcock at 2,200.
That's the other reason you know it's not the summer's over, is because they're not releasing them in like 8,000 screens or something.
Halloween
like
is still the widest release. Superbad still second widest release. Balls of Fury is still the third widest release, despite the fact that it's not making any money anymore.
The double bill of Balls of Fury and Woodcock. I'm just going to say that only, joke
I can
over
only
and over
imagine
again.
What they would call that.
I don't know.
Like the
Balls Deep the release?
The Cock and Balls double
the Cock
feature.
And Ball story?
No, that's the Tristan.
Tristan Shammy, Cock and Bull story.
Yeah. But anyways, if I had to predict this weekend, I think The Brave One is going to win out the box office.
I know what they could call it. They could.
I'm trying to like move on.
They
here.
Could. They could call it. They could call it the special junk double feature.
The special junk
total
double
junk
feature.
Double feature. Yeah.
Right. Okay. The phallic double feature.
All your junk.
The phallic feature.
All your junk in one showing.
Put your junk in a box.
That's right.
Okay. And you could win an Emmy.
That's right. Not
excellent.
An Emmy.
Yeah, they VMA. Won an Emmy.
Did they win an Emmy?
They won an Emmy for that.
Oh my God.
It wasn't
there's
a VMA.
There's got to be somebody out there. There's like somebody like Regis Philbin is like shooting himself in the head right now.
He deserves
hey,
it.
Hey, they won an Emmy for that. What is going on? Bam. Then Kimberly Ripa will come in and go, he's dead. Hi. I'm going to smile. Okay, go on.
What were we even talking about?
We're talking about
the box office.
Yes.
We're going to predict. I think Brave One. I think the Brave One's going to be number one this week.
Yeah, I think so. I just don't think. I don't think Woodcock's going to pull it out. No pun intended.
I don't even think he's going to make over $12 million. Like yeah, and then
not
nothing else
well.
Is going to even come close to 10.
It's getting creamed in the reviews. And so. it's again one of those movies. The only ones that really reviews matter is when it's a movie that should be getting rave reviews. And it's not. I mean, it's
which
like,
this is,
and like it's not to a ridiculous degree. It's like people are going, you know what? I don't know. It may not be better than Premonition.
Wow. Wow. And Premonition, like, literally a week in, reserved its place on, like, the 50 worst reviews.
Yeah, and they were advertising it on Rotten Tomatoes. They're like, look at this movie. It just came out, and it's already at zero.
Yeah. So with 800 reviews.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, I think the Brave One's going to win. I think 310 to Yuma may have a chance at
continuing.
Because it's getting good reviews.
I don't think Woodcock's going to.
Mr. Woodcock's not going
to
do anything.
It's not going to rise to the occasion, so to speak.
But I will say that there are 850 sneaks of the Kingdom,
which isn't a bad movie.
Yeah, if you have a Rave Motion Pictures near you, Rave Motion Pictures is doing the
go rave the for sneaks. Jamie Foxx.
I know we have one here in Columbus. It's That's a true. Nice theater. I like it. DLP.
That's where we saw Transformers.
And this is where I saw Transformers.
Little boy, and it was
three times I saw Transformers in that theater. So, anyways,
watch out, Michael Bay. You got a stalker.
Sweet. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to run down our list of the 10 actresses in their 40s that we would like to bang. Not at the same time.
Unless that was like part of the deal. And that's the only way it would work.
Okay. Anyways, deal with it, but we'll be back.
I just had a birthday this past week.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I'm 36 years old.
Excellent.
Which puts me very close to 40.
Which puts me even further away from 40
That's
than
right.
you are.
And it got me thinking, because of last weekend, we had Shoot 'Em Up with Monica Bellucci.
Yeah.
She's really only, she's like 6 years older than me.
Right.
And
not that you have a chance.
Come on, man. I got her in my car. She's waiting for me.
I bet she
Whether
is.
She's playing the mother of Jesus or a lactating prostitute, you know. I'm happy with it.
I'm good.
But anyways, it got me thinking about it. And of course, this week we've got Jodie Foster in a movie. And she doesn't look too bad. She's
she's still looking good for
she's in the mid-40s. She's almost 10 years older than me, but hey, you know, she's cool. I said, "You know what? I'd like to bone them."
Yes. Now the question is,
at the same time, separately, whatever.
Where do they fit in with maybe a list of 10?
We could do a list of 10. Maybe 10 actresses. That are in their 40s.
That would
like to bone.
That are boneable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, in other words, we would like to have relations with.
And I will, yeah.
But not together.
I do not have sexual relations. That's sort of my Kermit the Frog version of Bill Clinton.
Excellent. can you do a whole show in Kermit the Frog?
I don't know.
Because that'd be fun.
That would be funny.
I would just
can
make
I, can
funny
I, Can I say something completely random now? I was on. I remember seeing this.
We've already derailed.
We're nowhere near this list. I saw this originally live on the Conan O'Brien show, and for some reason, I was looking up Faces of Death on
which
the
is
internet.
Awesome.
Which is like all pretty much fake, except for like slaughterhouse footage. But the Conan O'Brien once did the Muppets Faces of Death, which is one of the funniest things. Go to YouTube and search Muppets Faces of Death. It's the most hilarious thing you'll ever see.
I may do it right now while we're doing this list.
We'll put a link up. Let's put a link
Excellent.
Up.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
So anyways, from Muppet Faces of Death to 10 actresses in their 40s that I'd like to bone and Neil would like to bone. And yes. Like I said, not at the same time unless... Because you know what? If we're sitting here in the magical studio in the sky and Monica Bellucci comes in dressed as a lactating prostitute and says, "Hey, look, I'm going to have sex with you guys, but it has to be together. Or I'm out of here."
We're going to have to suck that up.
You know what?
Not literally.
It's awkward. It would be very awkward, but I could get over it if it was Monica Bellucci.
You think it'd be awkward for you? I'm the good looking one here.
And you would be intimidated by my prowess.
Sure. It's not what she said, but anyways.
Anyways, so now that we've completed, if anyone's out there
can
still
Can I start
listening,
the list now?
Yes, let's start
All right,
the
we're
going
to go youngest to oldest here.
Yes.
And we're going to start with the youngest, just turned
Which is terrifying,
because
as we get older, there's some of them are twice your age or more.
Right, and I would still do it.
Yeah.
Some of these are older than my mom, which is really scary.
Is your mom cute?
That's not for me to decide.
Okay. Well, no, but you know. I mean, she's your mom.
I'm not going
to
say.
Is she like in Superbad? Is she, if I were driving there and I'd be like, "I love you," and she's leaning over with her.
Probably back in the day.
Really?
I don't know.
Is your mom a looker? You got a picture of her?
I like my mom.
Can
she's
I take
cool.
Home with
She's a good lady.
Okay.
Can we talk about the list now?
Sure.
Because I'm getting uncomfortable.
How old is your mom? Is she in her 40s?
She's in her 40s. She's turned 40 a few times.
Is she hot?
Dude, I'm not talking about my mom anymore like this. We're going to the list. First on the list, just turned 40, Maria Bello. Yes. Very hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, speaking of A History of Violence.
History
good,
of Violence? Oh, my god.
Pretty
gosh.
Good scene of her in that.
In the...
I'm told. I've never
oh,
seen it.
Oh, it's a cheerleader outfit. Made me want to go buy a cheerleader outfit for my wife.
I thought you were going to say buy yourself a cheerleader.
I'm not
going to
buy no, no,
for yourself.
No.
I wouldn't put it past you.
Not that I'm going to admit to.
Moving on.
Number two. This one was yours too. Why don't you take the ones that
okay.
were yours?
Also, just turned 40 in June, Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
Who looked very good in The Invasion.
She looked
despite
good.
The fact that the movie sucked.
Bit of Botox going on there.
Hey, you know
Cannon
what though?
Motorway around. Not like Jodie Foster, who
a
looks
lot,
like crazy.
A lot of these women, Botox.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of work being done on these women.
Okay.
We're Anyways. Talking in this list hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of plastic surgery dollars in this list.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Number three. This was yours, but I agree with it. Do you want to do this one?
I'll
do it. Salma Hayek.
Yep. She is 41.
41, and she's popped out a kid or two, hasn't she?
Yeah, I know. Still looking good.
Still looking very good.
Yep.
Yeah, but still, I'll tell you, as gorgeous as she is, God, the Desperado days.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the all-time greatest sex scenes. In a movie.
Parts of my body just started falling off when I saw that, just because it's like, I can't handle it. They jump and run away.
Excellent. on to the next one. This is totally yours. We've
Monica
already been talking.
Bellucci. Monica like Bellucci. I said, whether she's Mary, Mother of Jesus, or lactating fetish prostitute, she does it for me.
Okay.
Or
and she's
or,
not even trashy.
Like, no, she's not. She's not like trashy. Incredibly French. Classy, which is, well, she knows she's Italian, isn't she?
Well, in that movie, she was French.
Oh. What, Jesus?
No,
Jesus isn't French. He was a Jew. That's the whole King of the Jews. That's where that came from.
Wow.
Just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Moving. Next one's yours too.
Kristen Davis from Sex and the City. The only one worth getting it on in that.
Yeah, she will be returning for the new Sex and the City movie,
which is gonna suck.
Going.
That's
to probably
gonna be
suck.
Bad.
But Jennifer Hudson's gonna be in it, so that could be.
So
that could be good.
She plays
number.
Like she plays like somebody's secretary in that.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Hudson's not a bad looking woman.
This next one is totally mine because in the movie Unfaithful.
No, this is not yours.
This is totally mine.
This is totally not yours.
This is mine.
No.
Diane
no.
Lane is mine.
I've been going off on Diane Lane for years. Ever since I saw A Little Romance when I was a teenager, she was a little hottie at 13. Now, I was like that age too, so it's not like I was like 26 going, hey man, she looks really hot. That swimsuit or something. Like that. It wasn't like this My Father the Hero crap. I was totally going for Diane Lane for years.
I don't know if we can continue this list now.
It's over. Diane Lane.
You took it to a whole new level there.
No,
I can't
you can
argue.
Do the next one.
All right, the next
one.
One's Jodie Foster, 44.
Yeah.
We
had to put her on the list because she's in a movie.
She inspired the list. Yes.
And Monica Bellucci.
She's looking good. I think she looked better in Inside Man. I mean, she looked good in Inside
Man. She looked good in Inside Man. Yeah, well, because the thing is this one, her hair's cut short and she's supposed to be all wrecked. And,
like edgy.
Oh. Yeah, and I'm like,
like
oh,
Kevin Bacon with like the half mullet cut in Death
Sentence. With the cock-a-doodle-doo thing in the background.
That's what
I kept expecting him to shoot somebody and they go, ah, ah, and like crow like a rooster.
Wow. But yeah, Jodie Foster definitely looking good. Yeah. Speaking of somebody who was in Death Sentence.
Yeah, Kelly Preston. I've been jonesing for Kelly Preston for years, ever since she showed a lot of herself in Mischief,
right.
Which was filmed in Ohio.
Okay.
Filmed in Ohio. Rock on.
Yeah.
Kelly Preston, still a hottie.
Yeah.
Still a hottie.
Okay.
John Travolta, if he wasn't gay, it'd be great.
The next one's yours, too. You fought for this one.
Yes, Vanessa Williams. From the old Ugly Betty show, Vanessa Williams. You know, I've seen her pictorial, and I think she looks better now. I haven't seen.
You know
what?
She was good. You ever seen the movie Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, she was good in that.
It was a great movie.
She looked awesome.
I want one of those guns.
Yeah. Do you know that her pick? Do you know you can't get her issue of Penthouse now? Did you know that?
I'm sure you can get it.
Well, you can get it
on
but,
the interwebs.
Well, do you know why? Do you know why it's been banned?
Why?
Do you know who is the Penthouse pet for that issue?
No.
Tracy Lords. At like age
What's
17.
Wrong?
She was like 16 or 17.
Oh.
Who's? Oh, she's also from Ohio.
She was not of age.
She was not of age, and then here's an aside. An interesting thing about Tracy Lords: she's not a stupid woman. She comes from Steubenville, Ohio, which is up near the
border,
West Virginia.
Panhandle.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
I've been there.
What she did is she went into underage adult films at like age 15, and she looked older. I mean, she could pass, so it was, she wasn't going for the I look barely 18. She looked, you know, and everything. So she did just, like 100 movies or something like that, and then she turned 18, did a movie where she directed it and produced it herself, and then announced that what her real age was, wow. which suddenly made everything else that she did completely illegal.
Right.
Now people still have them, but it made it completely illegal. You couldn't sell it, and the only thing you could buy was the one movie that she did as an adult, and then she quit the industry.
That's amazing.
Tracy Lords is a smart woman.
That's pretty awesome.
And hot.
Hey. Anyway, so, she would probably make the list.
She'd make
the,
yeah, she...
She'd probably over 40. I don't know.
She's probably in her 40s.
Anyways, last one on the list is the eldest of these 10 ladies.
Almost 50. Almost got out of the list.
And you know what? She's probably one of the hottest.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Of course, I don't know. If I had to flip a coin between Diane Lane and Michelle Pfeiffer.
If I had to flip Michelle Pfeiffer and Diane Lane.
If I could flip Michelle Pfeiffer and find Diane Lane under her, that'd be awesome. That would be the best.
It'd be like Christmas. But she looked great in Stardust.
She looked great in Hairspray.
So I
and she's
I've always been a big Michelle Pfeiffer fan.
And I know she's had some work done, but it's like good work.
All I have to say is Catwoman.
Catwoman.
There are few women that can look better than Halle Berry in leather.
Yeah, but you realize
she's one of them.
This is the problem with Halle Berry in Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that her stunt double was an Asian guy? So if you're watching the movie, you can't. You're like, because half of it was computer generated, half was this Asian guy,
right?
And I'm just like, so it's just, I'm trying to pick and choose, and I'm just like, I just prefer not to choose.
Okay. Anyways, never mind. So we have some.
Is Halle Berry over 40?
No.
Can I check?
She's
30. Didn't she just have a kid?
She's 30 something.
I'm gonna check. You go
on. She's
in
her 30s. This is kind of like the Naomi Watts thing. Where
give me the.
Give you the honorable mention. This was one of yours. Sherilyn Fenn.
I like Sherilyn Fenn.
She's gotten
a little thick over the years. In fact, she played Boss Hogg's wife. Oh, Halle Berry is over 40.
Oh my
god, another Ohio girl. She's got a. We should have had her on the list.
Okay,
but
we save a special place.
Yeah,
on
we may adjust the list
by the time it hits the web.
By the time it hits, we may just throw it in there and have 11.
It might just be 11 actresses.
It'll be like a baker's a fat guy's dozen.
Okay, sweet. Other honorable mentions: Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah,
very hot.
Old Bond girl from Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yep, and Catherine Keener.
Yeah,
the 40-year-old virgin.
Another older woman.
She was looking good in 40-year-old virgin.
Pushing 50 now, yeah.
Yeah, 48.
She looked great in like stuff like Living in Oblivion, and actually she looked really good in Being John Malkovich.
Agreed.
Yeah. She was over 40 when she did those.
Sweet.
Rock on. Well, not Living in Oblivion. She was in her 30s.
Right. Okay.
But very anyways, cool. That's our list.
Our
disheveled
list.
Did we offend anybody? Did we offend enough people?
I have no idea.
Okay. Anyone listening, we're going to be back after this break.
And we are back, and you're listening to Fat Guys Movies. We're going to do a little entertainment news because we don't have any celebrities to talk to this week.
That's because we're bashing all their movies.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't it have been great to get Jodie Foster on there and say, Jodie, what is the deal with all the crying in your movies?
Seriously. Can you just cry for us?
I could have interviewed her. That'd be great to get an interview her, and then interview her in the language of the movie Nell. Make up my own language and have her go, "What's the matter?" I'll be like, "What's the matter? You're like ragging on Lindsay Lohan, woman."
Wow.
I would love to just tear her apart.
Sweet. Moving on to some news, some breaking news, I guess. I don't know. It's not really breaking. Last couple days.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart's going to be back to host the Oscars again.
Again, there's like 7 news stories and everyone's breaking. And then it's like they've confirmed.
Well, it's confirmed.
Okay.
They just we got an Academy press release that said Jon Stewart will actually be on the 2008.
Do you know who they need to have host the Oscars?
Sure.
Jerry Springer.
Are you serious?
Jerry Springer. I'd watch it. Oh, man. I'd totally
just to watch like people fight. Like bring up there bring start, La Lohan yeah, and Britney
and
Spears
like,
up and just
like,
let them fight.
White trash
ooh.
Up on the stage and they can start throwing food
no,
at each
other. No, he
needs
to host like the Video Music Awards. So it could be like Kid Rock and Tommy Lee
he's
on stage
fighting. He's already
got fighting.
Britney Spears there.
Yeah. Anyways, so Jon Stewart's going to host the Oscars. Great. Also,
is Britney Spears going to dance at the Oscars or like
I hope not. But we haven't really talked about the strike yet.
Yes. Strike.
The big strike that's going to happen in June with the directors, the DGA,
SAG. That would be the Directors Guild of America.
The Screen Actors Guild and the Writers Guild of America.
Yes.
Of which neither one of us is a part of any of
None
them.
None of them.
So, and...
So we're going to get work. That's right. We're going to go direct movies. I'm we doing are. Transformers 2.
I'm gonna do all the graphics on my Mac. It's going to look great.
Suddenly there's like this really bad image of Megatron. Exactly.
But
stumbling.
I guarantee you the story will be funny.
Yeah.
And it will still star Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf is going to be in every single movie ever made.
Ever made from now on. But
they're gonna put him into Lust Caution, I hear.
Excellent. But I have to give a call out to John Campia over at the Movie Blog. He wrote a very insightful article about what the strike is actually about. Mm-hmm. Because I have no idea.
Because we are no union whatsoever. Studios, no fat guy
nobody
union.
Cares. Like, except for the fact that we're the most influential voices in film, nobody really cares about us.
Exactly. Come on.
But apparently, it is all the producers and all the studios against all of the people that actually make the movies, like the writers, the directors, and the
Well,
actors.
The stupid thing about a strike is you got rich people going against rich people,
right, and they all want more money.
Yeah. So and like, they're like, you know, because you know, do you know what minimum wages for SAG per day?
No.
It's like $1,000
per day.
Minimum. When they say like, oh, Robert De Niro did this for free, he didn't do it for free. He did it for $1,000 a day because right. That's what they have to pay him. So right. I'd like to make $1,000 a day.
You don't make $1,000 a day on this show?
Do I? You don't give me $1,000 a day. I don't see the advertising revenue, well, dude.
You must not be getting those checks.
Maybe you're Anyways. Sending them to yourself. you're addressing them, you're writing them out to Fat Guy. And somebody on my block is stealing them.
Okay, cool. But anyways, I guess some of the big sticking points of this are internet royalties.
Yeah,
they don't give royalties based on money made off the internet,
and it's turning
it's
into
kind of a big
downloads
deal.
Now or a big deal now,
right? Yeah, because iTunes is about to start offering movie rentals mm-hmm. and stuff.
Well,
so.
And the TV shows are already on
right
downloads,
right? Which I think is totally fair of them to say. But there's also I found this kind of funny. The Writers Guild wants reality and game show writers covered under the new agreement. Just like a screenwriter.
Well, and the reason for that is because reality TV really took off after the last writer's strike. Mm-hmm. And that's really part of the reason why we had such a flood of reality TV, because they suddenly said, we're going to have a writer's strike. So they started developing all these programs like Survivor and American Idol right. And then all these other copycat things so that they didn't have to worry about a writer's strike for the new season.
But it's reality TV. What do you need to write?
You don't think it's scripted? It's like wrestling.
I don't want to watch it anymore.
I don't watch it at all. I hate reality TV.
Well, there you go.
I think it's terrible.
Anyways, so they also came out with a list of movies that are going to get fast-tracked in order to... because basically
Josie
a movie...
Josie and the Pussycats 2.
A movie has to be in post-production by June if the strike happens in order to...
Oh, it'll happen.
Be finished. And the strike is definitely going to happen. So I wanted to pick out a few very interesting ones, like Big Mama's House 3.
Because if there's anything this world needs, you know, people say, no, we need water to the Sudan. We need water in, you know, we need food in starving countries.
We need more Martin Lawrence in a fat suit.
More Martin Lawrence. Fat Martin Lawrence is what
just
we
like
need.
We needed Norbit early this year.
Well, you know,
more
this is the
Eddie
thing
Murphy.
With writer strikes and stuff. The strike is what caused Pluto Nash to be released.
Right.
So, I mean, that's part of the problem with these strikes is then they start taking stuff off the shelves that they've said we're not going to release, and they're like, well, we'll just go ahead and release this since right. it's already done. Or we'll finish it.
A couple other interesting ones. Dimension's going to do a Porky's remake, which they've been talking about for a long time. That's but they're actually going to do it. Fox has got A-Team on their list. they also have Magneto and Wolverine for all the fanboys and fangirls out there. The Day the Earth Stood Still, I think we've talked about that one before. Another Street Fighter movie for Fox.
Oh yeah, because we need more Damien Chappa.
Yeah, there is.
Damien's a good guy.
Notorious, the story of Notorious B.I.G. All kinds of really dumb, stupid movies. Let's see here. I have some.
Yeah, it's coming.
Another Meatballs.
Didn't they? Wait a minute. Is it another Meatballs or is it a remake?
It's Meatballs.
Is it going to
be? Lionsgate's got Meatballs.
It could be like sort of like a pseudo sequel. It could be Meatballs of Fury. That would be awesome.
That could be fun.
You have Dan Fogler and Bill Murray. And Bill Murray could crash a golf cart into something.
Escape from New York is on there. Also, the Gears of War movie is on there. He's Just Not That Into You is on there. Sex and the City, obviously, is on there. It's got a release date already.
Terrible.
Dallas, which I don't know if that's related to the show, but I sure. G.I. Joe is on there. I Want to Blank Your Sister. I don't even know anything about it, but I'm interested.
Hey, you hands off my sister, man.
Star Trek, Thor, World War Z, which is another.
It's going to be another DOA.
Another DOA. Castlevania movie. And that's, I mean, other than Big Mama's House.
That was the one you just really wanted to lead with.
I just really wanted to be like, they're going to make another Big Mama's House.
Big Mama's House. Oh, that's all I can.
Yes. So there you go.
We
got
to go to break. We do.
Okay.
Let's stop talking about bad movies that are going to come out in the future.
Sweet. And I found actually two more that are going to be very interesting.
More movies?
Off of my list. Universal, because I didn't get all the way down the list, has Barbarella, which is being Robert Rodriguez is attached.
Which is a terrible movie, actually, the old one is.
Yeah, and...
And who's playing Barbarella?
Apparently Rose McGowan.
Is she going to have a gun?
And, no, now I have another one. Okay. Hold on. Fast and the Furious 4.
Okay, like we need more of that.
Yes. And
John Singleton, who like was Oscar nominated for Boys in the Hood, goes down to Fast and Furious 2. And there was another one on there. Land of the Lost.
Which is one of my all time favorite TV shows.
You know what's gonna if like the special effects people strike afterwards, they're just gonna like input like the bad special effects from the 70s, like with rear projection.
That would be awesome.
They should do that. They should just release it, like make an awesome, just incredibly awesome trailer, and then release the movie as absolute garbage.
Right.
Just to get that.
Spend
like $1 million on the trailer and then spend $80,000 on the rest of the film.
It could be an interesting experiment, like the placebo effect.
That's right. People would be like, well, that's the best thing out there right now. It's better than Halloween 4.
Right. Cool. Well, let's wrap up the reviews. We'll start with the Brave one you saw.
Sucked.
And then D-Wars or Dragon Wars, we didn't see.
I haven't seen. I was thinking of taking my kid to see it because I think he'd get into the
I think that's giant. Worth a preemptive kind of suck, though.
I don't know. If you go in thinking what it is, I mean, just some big, dumb, stupid monster movie blowing up L.A. instead of Tokyo.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see it, but not like I'm going to run out and spend my money.
All right, so we'll wait and see. Mr. Woodcock.
It might be funny, but
I do preemptive suck on that one. And then Eastern Promises, you said?
You know, I'm on a kind of rocks on that one, simply because I liked History of Violence so much.
I'm going to say rocks because... Simply because I cannot actually agree with you.
Yeah,
because
after the movie, we saw it, he came out, and he was really, you could tell you were conflicted because we kind of.
I wanted to know what did Kevin Carr think so that I can make my educated decision on whether I'm going to like it.
And Kristen Dreyer Kramer, who we've referenced before in the show, is terrified because that's two movies in a row she's agreed with me on.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, she's like two steps away from, you know, contemplating suicide at this point.
She is.
Like, that's bad.
I told you, I'm the equalizer.
Sure. Anyways, next week we've got all kinds of fun. We got Resident Evil Extinction.
We're ramping up for the fall. I think we got some at least decent garbage.
Yeah. We've got Good Luck Chuck, which I'm here preemptive bad stuff about. Sydney White and another ridiculous Jane Austen movie.
Jane Austen's.
Are we actually going to see that?
No.
Thank God.
I'm not even going to go to it. I fell asleep in the last one and offended people.
Nice. So, but if you would like to get a hold of us in between now and then, you can hit us up on the web, fatguysthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store, type in Fat Guys the Movies, get us right there in your face. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also call us, 614-388-8735. Take us home.
We'll see you at the movies.
Adios.